Devices Radio Network.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 15 of It's Just Bodybuilding with your host Dusty Hanshaw and of course myself, Big Ron Partlow. Today we're chatting about stuff and things, and we've got some questions in Coach's Corner right here on It's Just Bodybuilding. There you go, Dusty. Scott disappears, and you fill the screen. What's up?
And stuff and things begins.
Yeah, we'll just leave that in.
I like it. I like stuff and things. And we do have some topics that you've said have rolled through, and I'm excited because this time I decided I wanted to take them blind. I'm finding out as we roll.
So we got to start the show. This is a very exciting day for me, Dusty. I feel like I have sort of moved up. Like, I don't know. As far as YouTube celebrities go, I sort of think I'm like F list.
It's a good spot though. I mean, you right? know, F.
I mean, yeah. I have a letter designation, but it's
you're in. Yeah,
I'm in. I'm not like off. I'm not like, oh, we don't letter those guys. You know, I get to be in one of the groups, but I think it's like F.
Okay,
I think
how so?
I may have moved to D list.
Ooh.
Maybe. I don't know. You tell me. I got my first story removed by Instagram for violating community service agreements.
Really? And what story was this?
I feel like a champ. I feel like I'm in the club now.
I've never had that. I'm not even an F then. Jeez.
I feel like doing something that gets you spanked a bit by Instagram is like, that's like a step up.
Well, you're someone. That means they actually saw you. Someone reported you.
Right. Did someone report me or did a bot pick something up?
I'm going with someone reported because I want it to be a direct hit. So I want to know that you ruffled someone's feathers.
So you want to know what it was?
Yes.
I did the ask me anything and I got a great response. And I was hammering through the questions, answering as many as I could. And one of them was just a joke from some dude about a really good friend of mine.
Right.
He goes, why does Aaron have so many chins or something like that? Like he was making fun of him being like big in the off season.
Right.
And so I responded. I said, well, the reason he still has chins. Oh yeah. He said, how does he still have chins when he's shredded?
Oh, okay.
How can he get shredded and still have chins? Right. And I just laughed. So I said, oh, the fat in his face is indestructible. He has the most bloated fat face of all time. Like I just was like this funny response.
Right.
And Instagram removed it for bullying and harassment.
Well, if you don't bully and harass, are they really your friends?
That's pretty funny.
You're like, this is a legitimate friend. I would never say that to someone I didn't care about.
I just got a kick. I got a kick out of it. I felt like somebody this morning.
I like it. And you got warned. Like this is gone. We know about fat face jokes.
Yeah, and then it said I could appeal, so I hit the appeal button, and I thought it was going to give me a reason, and it didn't. It just like appeal.
so that may pop back up in a week that you get to call your friend a fat face.
Yeah, I don't know. So I see what I think it is. I think it's a bot that picked up the word. Like I said, he had a fat face.
Right.
I don't know. I think a bot picked that up, and I think when you hit appeal, a human looks at it.
Right.
I don't know.
And they don't actually care and they just move on because they don't care.
And I might be giving them far too much credit for the thoughtfulness put into any of that.
Well, take your win.
Take your win. So, yeah. So I got my first post removal and you started a page for Harvey Hanshaw.
I did. And he's a hit. He's a hit. And, you know, the only thing I'm finding is, you know, I'm a little bit nervous because I'm going to quickly become the second most famous person in the house. And there's only two of us that live here. So
it's funny because I like what you wrote. World's greatest closer.
Yes. I mean, the other Harvey is not a closer like this.
That's funny.
Not like this. I was actually talking to Canine Games, and I was thinking, you know, when they're having him trained to be a service dog, they have to have a specific thing they do. And I was thinking, how can I make sure that he utilizes his looks for what I need them for?
Right.
You know, approach the right. I don't need you walking up to an old man and wasting your skill. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need him trained on, like, I don't know, you need, like, maybe a selection of hot girls that he can interact with while being trained.
Yeah, and then he just, then he knows, like, go that way. Go
yeah.
That. You know, so I think that we're going to work on that. And
so yeah. Harvey's going to know where the line is from 7 to 8.
You know, well, you remember that line. Do you know what a 10 is? Cool. That's the only thing that comes near this table. I mean, and I couldn't do that, so thank God I've got him.
Yeah, no, I know. Your dog's something else. It's funny because I was looking at his page, and for a little split second, I actually thought that he made the page, you know? I was like, yeah. Oh, Harvey's got a page.
He does have his own phone. He was in there in the middle of the night. I'm like, what are you doing? I was really watching who he's been following too, you know?
Right,
easy
right.
Killer.
You can see the riffraff on
absolutely.
The list.
I'm overlooking it for sure.
Yeah. So what's going on in Dusty's world? We had Antoine last week. We got this week. It's just us.
Yeah. Well, it's been good. I mean, I just got back from Vancouver, obviously.
Yes.
Came up and played at West Coast Iron. Worked for Mutant. Hammered out a new deal. So you guys are the Mutant fans are stuck with Dusty for another year.
Okay.
And we have some good changes coming forward for content. There'll be a lot more Mutant everywhere, which I found that was something a lot of people were asking about this year. They felt like that we had a slowdown of appearances and videos and all those things. So very stoked that all that stuff is already planned and ready. And it just means I'm going to be traveling a little more, which is good because this year I kind of felt unemployed to a level I wasn't ready for.
Well, I find it hard to believe that you're not busy enough, seeing as you sleep 3 hours a day and pretty much work nonstop. So, you know, I think you're busy enough regardless of where Mutant sends you. But yeah,
I wanted to get that team back out there. We're going to be doing some filming on the road now. You know, all those the clips and stuff that we did when you and I were training. Part of the plan is going to be actually to be filming those trips now. So we're going to have YouTube stuff and things like that of those workouts as well. So I think that'll give people a real feel for all these cool places we go and what we do.
Yeah, I was in there the other day looking at the board where they have all the trips.
Yep.
And I'm not going to be going to the Arnold. Because they're sending me to like a separate trip to China in February, right. And I don't get home till like 3 days before the Arnold.
You didn't want to like touch your door and leave again?
Yeah, and so they asked me, they're like, "Do you care if you go to the Arnold?" And I was like, "I'd rather actually not, because I'm in China for like a whole week."
Right.
And then I get back, and I don't really. I mean, fuck, I love going to the Arnold, but you know, I got so much going on here with business and stuff. So I just love being home, man. Like, oh, I love being home. Like, how you feel, I know you fucking love it. But, like, I'm not happy.
I got home when I got home the other day, I was like, I laid down in my bed and I was like, oh, I'm very specific with those things. So those 3 hours, those 4 hours of sleep, man, they got to be right. And the stone bed just doesn't get it done.
I just love being at home. Like, you know, everything at my fingertips, it's mine, the comfort, the routine, the gym. Like, yeah. I'm in a situation where I go to some of the best gyms in the world and I'm like, oh, my gym is better. Because
it's made the way I want it to be.
Yeah, or I'll be at like a gym and I'm like, this gym's awesome, but I would turn that leg press because it's in the way. I don't know why they have it facing that way. You know what I mean? Like, I just, all this stuff just bothers me. And so it's pretty funny. I just, and you know, you know my view off this balcony.
Yeah.
You've been to my place.
Tough to beat that, for sure.
I mean, it's the view is worth way more than the condo. Right. You know what I mean?
The 26th floor view overlooking the other, like when I was up there the other day, I'm like, I actually had to call on some people to move the cloud so I could have the perfect view of the moon, and then I was set, you know?
Right, right, exactly. No, it's pretty cool. So, yeah, I love being home, but, you know, going on the trips is fun, but it looks like there'll be FIBO and body power for sure. Yep. That's what it's looking like. So I'll be on those trips. And it looks like the L.A. Fit, too, in January.
Yeah.
So we might be hanging out in L.A.
You haven't been, and I've got I got Todd coming up to film that trip, so make sure you're ready to train, and
okay,
and we're gonna have some fun.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, we never got to train when you were here this week, which is like the first time ever.
Yeah, well, you went off and decided to hurt yourself before I came.
Yeah, I got hurt twice in a week, so I'll bring that up next. You know that Hypervolt massage gun?
Yes.
Okay, now that's the one you have, right? The Hypervolt.
Yep. Yep.
Now that brand doesn't pay you to endorse or anything, right?
Nope.
Okay. I haven't tried any of the other ones, so I don't know which ones are like supposed to be the best, but that Hypervolt is awesome.
Oh yeah.
I think every bodybuilder should just, and I'm not saying you have to get that brand. I'm just saying that brand's been awesome for me, but everyone should have one in their gym bag, man. And so I pulled my pec and it was real sore. And I tried to train some chest last week, and I just did some real light pec deck and did like a plate and a half on the Smith. And I was like, oh man, it's pretty sore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I hypervolted the shit out of it like every single day. I'd put it in like a stretch position and hypervolt across my pec and underneath the pec and try to get like up into the armpit with it and all through the collarbone and the shoulder and the bicep tendon and just fucking... I had to recharge it like twice because I drained it. Like I used it a lot. And then I went in yesterday and just bam, bam. Like
everything back to normal.
No problem.
Yep.
No problem. 100%, you know. Put some heavy dumbbells up on the incline. Didn't even remember it happened. By the time we were on.
I'm surprised how many people, when I tell them about that, because I've got the Hypervolt, I've got Theragun, so there's a lot of them.
Right.
The Theragun's like 700, the Hypervolt's like 350 US. But what's funny is how many guys are like, oh, that's pricey. And I'm thinking, you're going to buy one.
Yeah.
Ever, probably. And they even have a warranty on all those and things like that on those. And then you're thinking, if you understood, like I've told guys when I'm telling them to buy it, I'm like, buy it. And even if you're tight on money, I mean, save, get it, buy one. Once you've had it for a month, you will realize you would have paid double without blinking.
Yeah, easily. I use it on leg day the most. Mm-hmm. So before I train legs, I'll do my quads, my hams, my glutes, my hips, even my calves.
Well, get everything open without stretching, because as we know, obviously everybody knows you don't stretch statically before training.
Muscle. Yeah. You know, as I'm warming up, I do some light stretching to get just like usually moving my hips and stuff. And I do, before I load my quads, like when I'm doing the warm-up weights, I make sure I can get my heel to touch my glute on my on my left side.
Mm-hmm.
So I stretch enough that my heel can touch my glute, and then I'm like ready to like load it.
Right. Yeah, I do flossing for that instead. That way it's not a static stretch and, you know, with the whole idea of weakening the muscle a little bit before you train. So but that takes a little more effort, busting out all the bands and all that shit to do it. And fortunately, Indy's got an area that's kind of reserved for that. So
right.
Clogging up the gym with your bands and stretching all over the place.
Your big ass laying in the middle of the turf. No one can pass.
This was supposed to be for you guys to be working turf drills, but not today. I'm gonna lay here.
Taking up all three lanes. It's funny. My dog wants in to come and say hi, so I'll let him mull around my feet. You know, he knows Harvey's on the other end somewhere. Oh yeah,
I'm fired up, dude. I'm like ready to know.
Oh, the topics. So one of them is I got some non-bodybuilding stuff.
Run.
Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
So yeah, so one of them is I got Disney Plus.
Oh boy.
So. Basically now between Netflix and Crave and Disney, I'm back to having cable.
But a fraction of the price.
Still probably about the same total now. What's it add up to now? I saw a joke the other day. It was Netflix $9.99, Crave $9.99, you know, good, you know, Disney Plus, $100, HBO this, blah, blah, blah. And then it said porn stars on Snapchat, on their private Snapchat, $2,340. And then it said, this is supposed to be cheaper than cable.
It was funny.
Yeah, yeah. So, so I got Disney Plus just so I could watch The Mandalorian. The new Star Wars TV show.
Okay.
So we get that, and now I realize what I've done. Emily realized all the Disney movies are on there, right? She's like, oh my God, you got Disney Plus. Oh, we have to watch Lion King. Oh, we have to watch Land Before Time. Oh my God, we have to watch all these.
you now have children without children.
So I now have children without children. The funny thing is I haven't seen a lot of them.
Okay.
So I haven't even seen The Lion King. So there's a little bit of a positive there. Because
I was going to say, these are classics. I mean, so you're not going to be disappointed that you watch The Lion King, I promise.
So, yeah. But, might take all the movies that I want to watch and sort of just push them to the side for a little while. We have to have this Disney binge.
Well, at some point she's going to leave town, and you need to get off the Disney Channel and get focused. Lock yourself in the house. Do what you need to do.
Right.
Uber Eats, enroll.
What are you watching right now?
I'm on Billions right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So okay. I told you I got addicted to that. And that one, it's been out for a minute. So as always, I like to wait until they're kind of rolling. But it's another sleeper where I. The reason I like those shows is because I don't want to wait for the next episode. I'm not watching live TV, but B, I don't want to wait. But on the downside is when you get yourself slipped up into a binge on accident. I had a night last week where I was like, I'm a little tired, but I want to be really tired when I go to bed. So I'm just going to watch one episode. Oh, shit. Then they hook me at the end, and I'm like, "We just gotta watch the beginning of the next one, so I see what happens." Then 3 hours later, you're like, "I really need to go to bed."
Yeah.
Harvey's gone. And I'm like, "Oh shit, it happened again." I'm not smart enough or disciplined enough to just do the right thing and walk away. And I think because the way my brain is wired, I have to know, and I know I can know. It's not like live TV where I'm like, man, I really wish I could watch that, but there's no option. It's like, man, I really wish I could watch that. And if I was an adult, I would go to bed, but I'm a child, so turn it on, click.
Yeah. I watched, I did 10 episodes of a show in a row once.
It kept asking you, are you really still there, loser? Get a
life. No, I did 10 episodes of a show once, and that was the worst I ever did in a binge. But,
They assumed you were living in your mother's basement at that point.
Yeah, and it wasn't a short show either. It was at Battlestar Galactica. I was on whatever season, and I was just fucking hooked. And I stayed up till like 6 in the morning, pounded 10 in a row.
You watched the sun come up.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't stop. And then you hit that point of no return where you're like, oh, well, now this is just a good story.
Yeah, I'm in too deep now. It doesn't matter that I'm a loser. I must keep going.
Like, it doesn't matter. My whole day's fucked. I have to go to bed and sleep till like 2 in the afternoon. So I'll just fucking,
That's terrible.
Just give up. Yeah, I have only done that one time. Was that bad?
That's cool people going to nightclubs. It's us watching television.
Oh. Yeah. We don't have to do the walk of shame, though.
Exactly.
We just finished season 7 of Homeland.
Right.
And I love that show. So that was a good... That was a good time well spent. But I don't miss having cable at all. I don't miss, when I'm at the gym and I look up at the TV and I see, the football game.
Yeah.
And then they go to commercial. I just, I'm almost like, whoa. Like, I notice the commercials.
Yeah. Immediately check out, why would anyone do this?
Yeah. I'm just like, wow, that terminated my interest. And, I can't wait for the commercial to end to come back to the
I just don't care anymore. Supposed to be watching, yeah.
Yeah, it's just funny what they do to me. So they stand out when you don't have cable, and you don't watch normal TV.
It's not even just that. It's, skip the recap. Skip the intro. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Skip the end credits.
I just watched that 3 seconds ago. I don't need to watch that. Oh, yeah, I don't need an intro. I know what I'm watching.
What's big plans for you next? You said you know, training's going good now. You're getting your food in.
Yeah, I mean, now everything's just, it's, you know, now it's more of the same, which is funny, but it's kind of cool. I'm in the process of putting up some posts about this too, because I love when you keep falling back on the same story with people. And between having clients and obviously doing your own bodybuilding, you just really continue to realize that it's more of the same, more of the same. That's the difference. You know, I've got a few guys right now who have been paying me consistently month in and out, and check-ins are sporadic, and they've got all the tools, and you just want to shake them and be like, dude, I can't even do my job because right. You're not executing. But I don't suggest you quit. I suggest you start, because you're training, you're still eating food, like, just follow it to the letter. You know what I mean? And they know the value is there, but they don't realize how valuable it is. And it's like, I'm telling you, it's one of those things where, and I think I had actually spoken to Sarah from Mutant about it, and I'm going to do it on my page, is because I'm where I am with my training, I just decided to do pictures, which we're going to do tomorrow because I'm not training today. But I'm doing pictures, and I'm going to do pictures in 6 weeks. Just to, like, literally drive home that the only change is now I'm eating again and training, and life is revolving around it. Because right. You've done this before when you've come off of a break or whatever. It's extreme. Like, at 3 or 4 weeks, people who are seeing you already all the time are like, what are you doing? And it's just consistency. You know what I mean? Yeah. And everybody has life. And I think it's tricky, but I put up some posts about that in the past, and I've had people try to, like, call me out. Well, aren't you struggling with that? I'm like, yeah, that's the reason I put this up.
Right.
The majority of what I put up is a conversation with myself that I think I'll let you in on.
that's why people like your post, because they know that you really mean them. But that's one of the kind of the keys to, you know, just being genuine on IG, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. Well, and they need to see that it's cool if you slip up, but don't ever, like, what worries me is when guys make those slip ups, guys and girls, and then it's like they think they can speed the process once they're ready to get their shit together.
Right.
Well, should I up the dose on this? Maybe I should just eat a lot more now. I'm like, no. Just follow the plan.
It's funny. I'm gonna read an email. The guy's name is Trent. He's just this dude. This email was just, it was just one of those good ones when you get some feedback from someone that you helped.
Yeah.
So this guy isn't my client. I just did a one-off plan for him. Like, he sent me everything he was doing.
Right.
And he sent me pictures and some videos, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went through and, like, crossed stuff out and added and changed and just built right off of his current situation and sent it back to him. And, man, I don't know. That was in June.
Okay.
And so I just get this email the other day. His name's Trent. And he goes, hey, man, I just wanted to say that that plan I paid for is amazing. I was 220 fattish, and now I'm 230 to 235 leanish with just a little bit of Anadrol here and there and a minuscule cruise of test. I'm definitely going to contact you in the new year about working together. But I just thought that's like, he executed clearly.
Yeah.
And the part that makes me laugh is like, the client who pays monthly and doesn't do it, mm-hmm. versus him who just paid once, but he actually followed it.
Right.
He got tremendous value.
Yep.
And also too, all I did was just minor tweaks, like what you're talking about, just kind of like stepping on it just a bit. Like, you didn't right. need a new everything. Like, I think mm-hmm. I just tweaked a few things.
Yeah.
And it was enough to make it work, but it was because he executed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, everything comes back to the execution. And then at the same token, then he realized too, this is what I got off of minor tweaks. What if I just handed him the wheel?
Right.
You know, so he knows the value would be even more extreme, but he's got the foundation correct, which is execute, you know. And it's, and I appreciate, like, I do understand, you don't, you know, I wouldn't suggest guys quit if they're having an off time, because that's a good way to fall all the way away.
Yeah.
But definitely to remind yourself, like, yesterday's gone. So you don't get to, you know, I mean, I'm just, has Chris ever gave you the bake and the cake metaphor as far as getting ready for a show?
The bake and the cake metaphor reminds me of this one time Kai Greene posted a photo. He was in like the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And I sent it to Chris, and Chris goes, I think you baked the cake too early.
So what it is for you guys that don't know what this is, you know, if you want to make a perfect cake, there's directions. You prepare it, you set the, you know, the oven at whatever temperature, we'll call it 400 for argument's sakes. It goes in there for 30 minutes. You take it out, it sits, done. Well, just like getting ready for a show, it's got to be 400 degrees. It's got to be 30 minutes. That's how you make sure that right at the point when you want that cake, it's perfect. Moist, cooked, awesome. I want cake now. But with bodybuilding, people tend to want to say, oh, shit, well, I only have 15 minutes to make this cake, so I'll just turn it up to 800. Because I have half the time, I'll double the temperature, and I'll expect the same result. Or, you know, hey, I got the cake done a little bit too early, but I can't take it out of the oven, so I'm just going to turn the heat off and forget the fact that heat stays in there and be stunned that that cake now in 45 minutes is dry and shit. You know, same idea. I just talked to a girl about that yesterday at Firebird Nutrition down here. She was telling me, oh, yeah, I was getting ready for a show, and I had to bail because I started having problems. And I said, well, why? She goes, well, my show was in April, and, I mean, I was pretty much ready. It was funny because she goes, I was pretty much ready in January. And I'm like, you mean when your prep should have started?
Right.
You were ready? Yeah, but and they tried to slow things down. I'm like, slow things down? What are you – you should have been eating. Like,
yeah.
You for weeks and weeks, it was obvious you didn't need 20 more weeks to be ready if you were ready in three, you know. So same idea. It's like it's that execution and planning the long term to really get it. And that's how I look at the bake and the cake. It's like with all of this, you need to make sure you're prepared to move forward when it's time. And it's easy to completely check out if you just walk away. But at the same time, sometimes the first step has to be just fucking do it, whether you like it or not. You wake up one day and go, enough of the bullshit. My meals are already prepped. They're in containers. I'm not going to come home until they're gone.
Hey, guys. Why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends, and they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com, and use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
One of my other favorite analogies that's similar to the bacon and cake one is the pulling a ship into a port.
Right.
Right. You can't just pull the ship in and stop. You have to start slowing down. Sometimes you put the engines in reverse.
Yeah.
To bring that boat in right where it needs to be. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
And then another part of the analogy is the bigger the ship, the farther out you have to start slowing down.
Right.
The longer it takes for you to fucking bring it in right perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so that analogy always like rings sort of similar to the bake and a cake one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like you can't just rush in. You know, that's why whenever a guy has to sprint diet right to the show and then try to load, I mean, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, we've all done it.
It's not ideal.
Yeah.
Right. That's why being ready just a little bit out so you can kind of eat in and it's all relaxed. I mean, that's everyone's fantasy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But that's the same as bringing the boat into the port. So it's just, yeah, it's that sort of stuff, that sort of mentality. A lot of people have a really bad habit of, you know, everyone did it in school where, you know, you have an exam in 3 months, but you don't study till a week out.
Yeah.
Right. And, for sure. And even if you wind up getting a good result on the test, long term, you don't remember any of it.
Yeah, you never became information for you. You memorized for a day.
Right. Right. And so that's another thing that you could kind of take from, you know, as far as bodybuilding and the process of bodybuilding is, you know, all of that stuff. It really comes down to consistency over time. Mm-hmm. And you have to start. You can't just put it off.
Yeah.
You know, you have to start. Like you said, just fucking do it.
Yeah, just roll. And then also understand that whatever time you lost because of your personal life or whatever it was, it's just gone. There's no, you right. don't get to make up for lost time. So, you know, the way you make up for it is start today and start perfect.
You know? Right, right, right. I had a question from a guy who sent one in. And he said, Dusty, he actually said Dusty because he kind of two-parted it. But the first part he said, how do you decide if someone is carb tolerant or good at using carbs versus not good at using carbs?
I mean, everything comes down to the process of working with them. So typically, just like you said about your one-off client there, when someone sends me their start point, unless it's just complete shit, I make random tweaks from it, but very small. And then I watch, you know, it's one of those situations where what you need to be doing is throw away your ego as a coach and turn on your eyes. You make an adjustment and then you watch, you make an adjustment and you watch. And you also understand that, nothing is permanent. Like I don't like to handle things like if someone's a carb guy or a fat guy, cause it depends on the year. What's going on with them? I mean, just how things shake out. I find that a lot of coaches, you know, if you handed me 10 of your clients' diets, there's a good chance that 6 of them are going to be along the same feel, and there's going to be 3 or 4 that look like a totally different person wrote them. It's all based on what the client's body's feedback is. So I tell that guys all the time. I mean, you know, occasionally you get lucky and you write a program out the gate, and it's just working. And it just seems to continue to work to the point that you start to like, I've had a few guys where I literally tell them like 2 things. Number one, this doesn't always happen. Number two, I'm not being lazy by not changing your routine, but like, why would I?
Yeah.
It's killing it. And I know you paid twice now and I've changed nothing, but what I have changed is you. So let's call that a victory.
There's a handful of guys I've helped where it's been like, there'll be like a 12-week stretch during the diet, mm-hmm. where it's not a single change.
You feel like you're auto replying with, "These look much better. Picks in 5 days."
Yeah, but and I think you're right. There are some people that don't quite understand that that's a good thing. Like, you know, I'm helping someone right now, and they started in a good spot, looked right. good, pretty lean to start, and a week later, they were like, "I was like, wow." The whole physique just tightened up and dried out just from eating clean for a week.
Right.
And then their first question was, so what are the changes this week? And I was like, well, none. You just started dieting and you look really good. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, I'm just really anxious to get this going. And I said, we're off to the races. Like,
it is going. Did you know?
This is going.
Compare those two pictures side by side real quick.
Yeah, like you, this is clear. Like you clearly hardened up in a week. You're in rather good condition for off season.
Right.
You know, I was a little nervous about the timeline because it was 15 weeks. And then when I got the photos, I was like, oh, let's do this. Yeah. You know, so I said, I'm not worried. You shouldn't be worried either. This is great.
Yeah.
And then the end of the second week, I was like, hey, so any changes? Like, what are the changes? And I was like, it's only been 2 weeks. And like, it's just you're killing it.
Right.
But so some people have that. And I'm not sure if maybe it comes from a previous coach
mm-hmm.
where there was a lot of changes all the time or just a previous prep where right. there happened to be a lot
yeah,
of changes.
They needed changes. Yeah.
They needed changes, right? So it's no, it's nothing against the previous coach at all. It might have been the way that it just had to be.
Yep.
But you have to understand that sometimes that's not how it goes at all.
Yeah, and in a perfect world, man, I would take that every time. It's just you know, we're not that lucky to nail it that way. It's the same with training. And I know we've discussed this before. Like I offer to clients on the regular, like, hey, if you want new training, I can write it because it won't hurt them. I mean, I think as long as they're training hard, cool. But based on your change, your physique, I don't need to. So your choice. And I have some clients that are like, fuck no, I want to leave it. I'm hitting my stride. And I have other clients like, yeah, I get a little stagnant, bored. I'm like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Because either works. There's, you know, it's just understanding that sometimes something has to change. And then sometimes it's like, well, what do you want to do? Everything's cranking along. We don't need to. The only thing I won't change is under no circumstance would I randomly change your diet when things are working. Like, cause
yeah,
it can only go one way and that's worse.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like my training partner, you know, I help him with his diet and, his weight was a little bit stuck. And so he sent me his diet and I was like, this is lots of food. Why don't you just start having a cheat meal every day?
Right. Yeah.
Like, you don't need to add, you don't like, I don't think you're already eating so much food, like 2 cups of rice per meal and all that shit, you know, like
we don't need to add 400 grams of rice. That's not going to do it. Yeah.
Like, why don't you just dirty up your diet a little bit? Just get some calories in there, you know, and like 2 weeks later, he's up 5 pounds now. He's no fatter.
I was going to say, it's a good 5 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, so that's just like that's keeping it simple, you know, in the off season. And, I get a lot of guys, young guys messaging me about macros.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get it. And I think that knowing your macros is awesome. Like I've always known, even before we even use the term, like the term macros is a new term to like use in this way. But even back in the 90s, I knew how many grams of carbs I was eating.
Right.
You know, we just called it grams of carbs. We didn't say macros. Yeah. It's like, so I always knew how many grams of carbs I was eating, but then I would eat over that. So I would, in the off season, I'd say, okay, I'm going to have like 600 carbs a day, but then I'm also having that one meal.
Right. Yeah. We're just 300 by itself.
Yeah. So like that's about how accurate we were as far as counting everything back then for off season. We were totally aware of what our meals were set at, but then we threw in the dirty stuff to like push the calories up. But we didn't worry about knowing the exact macros of that meal.
Well, I think that's the problem though, is everyone is so urgent about with the wrong things and then not patient with the right things. Like, you know, everyone wants the result as soon as possible. But really your urgency should be within the day to day. Like you said, I get asked all the time, what are your calories at? I'm like, I don't know. I've never added them up. I mean, I could, but I don't care. Because what I know is I know what I eat every day. And if I'm not seeing visible change in a month, then I got a problem and I need to make a change. I don't really wait a month. But, you know, and that same rule applies if you said, okay, I threw in that one meal a day when you were trying to grow. Well, if you started getting too soft, you'd be like, okay, either I need to tone that meal down or pull it out a couple days. Your base is still your base. That is perfect. You know exactly what it is. I think where people get sloppy and they get confused is if I ask them, what's your diet? And they have no clue because every day is random and every meal is random. And it's like, oh, well, then you're just not bodybuilding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got your 4, 5, 6 meals that you know exactly what they are and the big meal that you just have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that is organized. You know, you still know exactly what you're eating.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. It's funny how we hammer home the same stuff. And you made a comment a little while ago where you said, you know, someone might ask for a new program if they're getting bored. And I was going to say, I don't think a program for me is going to help them if their problem is boredom.
Right.
Because I'll be like, do these exercises because they're awesome.
Right.
And get strong.
Yeah. And that's like, always the thing. Just strong at these. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, get strong at reverse grip pull downs or whatever the fucking good lat exercise is for you. Get strong at, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just get strong on your key exercises. Getting bored is another thing that comes up sometimes. And I just never had a problem with that. I mean, I obviously had a tolerance for the process of bodybuilding because I did it for so many years, but boredom was never part of the equation. I never, ever got bored. I mean, what do you, what goes through your head when people say that?
Well, I know I'm wired really fucked up, so that's the first thing. because to me, what makes bodybuilding fun is the scoreboard. I love tracking my numbers because I get to know, like, in a game where, you know, I mean, for example, I'm just now getting back really into the flow and nail and stuff. I'm not going to know what I change as far as my final look until July. Well, I'm patient with that, but I like the fact that tomorrow when I go to the gym, if I beat all my numbers from the same workout from 2 weeks ago, then I have a win tomorrow. Black and white, best workout possible versus I trained hard. Like, I hate things that are gray.
Right, right.
Hard, what does that fucking mean? Like, was it the hardest you've ever trained? Was it, I'd rather say I was the strongest I have ever been in my entire life on that movement. That right. is black and white. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like that. You know, I mean, to me, scoreboards are life. Like, I just want to know that I won today. And that's what takes away that boredom, because I'm sure you've done it where you've got a rest pause and, you know, you've done your first two attempts and you're dead even with last time.
I know what you mean.
Now it's like a goddamn emergency that you get this right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you must. And if you don't, fucking day is shot. I mean, like, right. if I have, which I thank God, even through all the bullshit, my training is always solid. But I mean, if I have a bad workout, like, my day is garbage.
I remember an exact set that right. you just described. I was really big into doing rest pauses, and I was on the leg press for a while.
Right.
And this was back when I was competing. And I remember I was obsessed with getting to a certain number on my rest pause. Right. And there was like 2 weeks in a row where I got like 12, 6, and 4.
Right.
For my rest pause, right? So what's that? That's 22 total reps, right? And then use those numbers as an example. But I remember what happened. And then I came in one day and I was the carbs were down a bit because I was like dieting. And right. I didn't want that number to go down. And I wound up getting like 10. And I was like, oh fuck. And then I remember that urgency, like the whole world just stopped.
Right.
And I went to like that next level. And then I pounded out 8 to make like 18.
Yeah, you're back to your even point.
Yeah, and then I pounded out one more rep than the week before, and I wound up with a total of like 23, say.
Right, yeah, yeah.
On the last one. And yep. I couldn't believe, but it was just such, that set was like the whole world.
Yep.
And I was so obsessed with not getting weaker.
Right.
Because I was like, I can't get weaker. I can't get fucking weaker. And then I wound up getting stronger technically because I got like one more rep.
Right.
And I remember that changed my whole prep.
Right.
I remember just like all of a sudden I was like, I'm not losing muscle. There's no, right. there's like, because I think, I
can't be getting stronger and losing muscle.
This is awesome. Like it was funny. But when you said that about the rest pause and thinking about the numbers, that set just jumped out to me because I remember that. We're discussing like sets that you remember.
Yeah.
One time.
Yep.
And that's one that always comes to mind, that rest pause set on leg press. That was at the gym back in Edmonton.
But I'm a firm believer in that though, because in maintaining your strength and your dieting, because I was taught and I teach it to everyone I work with now, you have three reasons to either add or hold muscle mass: food, training, drugs. Well, in the off season, I go without or very low on the supplement side because I got a shit ton of food and my training is absurd. You know, then when I, you know, and there's times where the gear comes into play as well, but spend a lot of my off season on, you know, TRT. But then when you get into diet mode, it's like, okay, well, the food's gone. The supplements are there.
The food's gone.
The training has to stay there. You know what I mean? It has to, because if all of a sudden you let yourself become a candy ass, well, now there's no food and there's no training. The drugs ain't that strong. You're going to lose size. I mean, so there has to be, don't get me wrong, at the very, very end, you have to be understanding what your body's capable of. But I have a lot of guys that they're like, oh, well, I mean, they'll tell you, well, I knew going to the gym because you just lowered the carbs. I'm like, bullshit.
Yes.
Because you're cardiovascularly in better shape. The urgency of the show that is 6 weeks away is bearing on you. Your training partners are pushing you. Bullshit. I don't want to hear about your body doesn't know about those carbs. Your brain does. Stop.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? I just, because it'll be one of those things where like you change their diet today. Well, yeah. I was a little tired.
Oh, carbs are really down. So you just had 500 carbs like 2 days ago.
Yeah. I mean, it just baffles me. But that, if people would get that through their head, that they are not allowed to let their brain submit, they'd be fine. Because your body has more. I mean, it's literally like I'm tired. You know, it's like that whole thing when they tell you, if you think you're getting sick, don't sit around and go, oh shit, I'm getting sick. You might as well just fucking go lick the toilet bowl. I mean, fuck. You're definitely sick now. If you just say I'm cool and refuse, there is a chance you can get past that, you know?
And you know what, Dusty? It's not even about getting past it. It's about getting as far as you can before it just like the getting sick part. You got to live in denial right up until you can no longer live in denial. And it's funny.
One
because
puke, I'm like, maybe I was just nauseous. After the 10th, I'm like, all right, fuck, I'm sick.
You're like, okay, I'm sick now. But you still got like 2 days worth of shit done.
Yep. No, I agree with that.
Just submitted. And it's bodybuilding to me. Was I always had this sort of thing in my head, like, I don't know. I knew I wasn't going to be Mr. Olympia. I just knew that wasn't in the cards.
Right.
But I always had the mentality that I'm going to take as many people down as possible.
Right.
And to do that, that's the mentality. Like, do you remember, what's that football movie with Val Pacino gives the speech, Game About Inches?
Yep.
Any given Sunday.
Yeah.
That's the speech, man. It's a game of fucking inches.
Yep.
Like, you have to kick and claw and fight and scratch for every inch. And that's what prep was when it came to my strength. I was right. Like, I'm going to fight as hard as I possibly can to keep my strength.
Yep.
Like, it's going to be the non-focus. And it's not about doing singles and triples. I don't mean that. It's about like my 8 to 12 rep strength.
Yeah.
You know, like the weights I'm training with at 325 pounds are going to be the same fucking weights I'm using when I'm 265.
Right.
And like on the just caved in face. That's the goal. And even if you lose 10% off of them, but you make it to like 4 weeks out before you start getting weaker.
Yeah.
That's the game of inches part. That's the clawing and scratching as far as you can.
Yeah. Well, that's why sometimes, and I know you've done it, where you hit that peak in the middle of a prep where you're cardiovascularly so strong, you're still heavy enough, and you're breaking records.
You're not actually getting stronger. Yeah.
You're like, man, I've had moments in my career where I'm like, is this where I should be in my off season? Like,
and then also, that one thing that would always happen was with me was when I would lose a bit of weight, my hack squat would go up.
Right.
So all of a sudden you're hack squatting like another plate. And you're like, holy fuck, it's getting real, you know?
Yeah, I always argue that when we're doing pull-ups at the gym because I'm like, bitch, I'm heavier than you. So even if you have the same weight on, it ain't the same.
Yeah. No, but it's extremely important. And I mean, it's no secret when you look at a lot of the clients that you work with, or even just a lot of the people you follow on Instagram, the ones that kick ass, the ones that are kicking ass, the bodybuilders that are kicking ass, you watch their training videos while they're dieting.
Oh, for sure. They're all in that same realm. And I think that's the, you know, everything still comes back to the obsession of all of it. Like you said, all of the inches, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's definitely it's a mindset. Simple.
Yeah. No, well, that's the whole hardcore thing, you know? I mean, like, I just got a text from Dino on the weekend. He went to the Generation Iron, Dorian Yates thing.
Premiere,
right. Cause he was doing an interview with Dorian and all that stuff. So, I'm really excited to see that movie cause Dino's in it.
Right.
And, you know, as far as hardcore training and stuff, you know, I know they go through, you know, obviously it's about Dorian's life, but, you know, they touch on all that stuff. And there's apparently some footage in there that people haven't seen yet. So I'm really excited about that. But that's where it all came from, was that, you remember that when that video came out, when the Blood and Guts video came out?
Oh, yeah.
I remember I got it the day I started dieting for my first show.
Right.
It came in the mail.
Oh, yeah, God, timing.
Because I'd ordered it out of the back of a magazine, you know, like months early. I had to send a money order away and everything. But I remember it arrived the day I started my prep. And I was like, holy shit, this is like an omen.
Right.
You know? And then I remember I made my dad came down to check it out. He's like, oh, I want to see what you're watching. And he goes, oh, that guy looks like a big farm, like you know, he's like a big farm guy. Because that guy looks like some of the coal miners I knew when I was younger. You know, and he said that sort of shit. And it just gave it like, I don't know, I just always had such a blue collar work ethic opinion of how you were supposed to train. And right. So that keeping your strength and grinding was just always something that was, I mean, that was the focus of the whole prep, you know?
Yeah.
And it really does go a long ways. And the guys that do it keep the muscle. The girls that do it keep the muscle.
Yep.
Have a harder look, denser look. So I just, you know, people got to make sure they keep that in there.
Absolutely.
You got anything else, Dusty?
I have 10,000 questions waiting because I posted it.
Oh, shit.
What's going on? I told you. I put up the ask anything, and as I assumed, it jumped right through. Let's see. Am I right here? Bum, bum, bum. All right. Here's a good one. What exercise do you both think attributes to ham thickness in side shots?
Well, I don't really think that way. I think that you get the hamstrings bigger or you don't.
Right.
And if you genetically have a bit more muscle belly to the hamstrings, or maybe you have more adductors, so you're able to push your hamstrings out more.
Right.
Those are all things, you know, the genetic predispositions, obviously. So if guys don't have a lot of hamstring drop, I'll actually tell them train your adductors more.
Right. Yep.
Because then you can mash them, push them out, you know?
Yep.
So if you want more hamstrings in the side shots, you know, I would say it's just, you know, stiff leg deadlifts and heavy leg curls, and then also train your adductors.
Yep. No, I agree with all of that. And then the only other thing on, not on actually size, but a thing that a lot of guys screw up on is when you're hitting your side shots, don't fire your hamstring.
Oh, yeah. You got to let it relax.
Yeah. Let it hang by definition. Squeeze your glute, but don't squeeze a ham. And you'll see guys do that all the time. They're firing the hamstring. And it's like, well, by definition, that's contracting.
Yeah. It's going to come up and flatten out. And I know that Ronnie Coleman used to do it, but his hams were big enough that they still had like depth to them, and they were all shredded up because he was flexing them. But no one else looks good like that.
Yeah, no, you let that hang. And it's actually weird because you got to work your mind muscle connection to be able to fire your glute without firing your hamstring. And that's stuff that guys don't play with enough is that I'm huge on is practicing being able to fire individual muscles and not just when posing. You know, can you fire your hamstring sitting in a chair? Can you, you know, get your adductors to tighten sitting in a chair? You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff where your brain can just connect with individual muscles.
Totally.
I think number one gets to posing, but also gets to your training where you can tell exactly what's moving. You know what I mean? Because I think, like you said, a lying leg curl, it's an obvious choice for a movement, but I'm blown away at how many guys have no idea that their hips are getting involved, their glutes are getting involved, their low back's getting involved because they're not paying attention to what's moving the weight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, totally. When I was younger with DC training, a big thing is dumbbell lying leg curls. And I remember doing dumbbell lying leg curls, like 110, 120-pound dumbbells. I had no hamstrings to be seen. And now you get a 70 in there and it's burying me on a rest pause because the only muscle working is my hamstring and maybe my calf to hold the fucking weight. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's understanding, like I said in my post today, it's not just doing the exercise, but what's doing it, how you're doing it, you know?
Right,
so
right.
Those are the things I would pay attention to on, like you said, and it's not about getting hamstring hang, it's about getting a bigger leg.
Yep.
Yeah. For sure.
Some guys are just lucky. Not everybody's Tom Prince.
Bastard. Okay. And I already know the answer, but this is a good one. Best exercise to separate the shoulder from the tricep.
Well, again,
so, no, it's not an exercise. Go ahead.
Yeah. What you need to do is you need to get the shoulder bigger and you need to get the tricep bigger. And then you have a deeper groove between them. You know, if your shoulder and tricep are small, you're not going to have much separation. But if your shoulder and tricep get bigger, now you've got separation. So, I mean, if you're looking at that, you're looking at, I think a lot of overhead tricep stuff is great for tricep size because that's where you're in the deepest stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stretching the long head of the tricep because it crosses the shoulder joint. So, and that's the biggest muscle in your arm. So if you really need your triceps to get bigger, you should do heavy overhead dumbbell behind the heads or rope or something behind the head where you get a stretch. And then if you're trying to get more of the tricep separation, then you would want bigger rear delts.
Right.
So make sure you're training your rear delts because that's a body part that a lot of people just can't fire correctly or they just, mm-hmm. the lats are doing everything or whatever. So examine your rear delt training. Look at your tricep training and get those muscles to grow. And, you know, I guess depending on your level of development, maybe get a bunch of massage through the tricep and rear delt area. Like if you're shredded and you have like deep separation on one side and none on the other, then maybe there's like adhesions or something.
Right.
So there could be some, like, you could get some tissue work or something. I don't know the status of the person asking, but that's all I can think of.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add to that's a possibility, and I actually haven't seen this person's pictures, but could just be body fat as well. You know, my triceps and shoulders,
you're fat.
Are wacky looking when I'm in shape, and then in a tank top right now, it's like,
yeah.
You know, there ain't much separation in a fat muscle. You know what I'm saying? a fat covered muscle.
It's actually one of the only things I get any credit around the house for when I get leaner. Emily will be like, oh, you've got a shoulder tip separation. Like she noticed, she thinks it's hot.
Yeah.
So
it sounds, you know, what's the problem with me is I'm wired so backwards. When I hear that, so you're saying I was fat before.
Right.
Like, I know, God. I was, but you're not supposed to say that.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Got another one, which I think that you will have some input on. Second torn meniscus in the same knee. Any chance of growing legs with this reoccurring problem?
Well, I mean, just depends on how much pain he's going through. I mean, I know guys that have torn meniscus and it just kind of bothers them on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't quite know like how fucked he is. But
right.
I mean, it's just all about how much pain he's in. Because, you know, if you're trying to train in a lot of pain, your muscles aren't going to fire correctly. You know, you have that nervous system that, you know, it tries to compensate and shit and that muscle's going to shrink. But if you can, whatever he has to get done to get the pain gone, whether it's a surgery or scope or whatever the fuck they do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, of course you can get your legs to grow again. You have to figure out why you keep tearing meniscus though. Are you doing stupid shit? Are you playing soccer on the weekends at 275?
I think that's a factor too, is if it's not working the way you're doing things, start kind of widening your stance of what else you can do. You know? I mean, I think that that's one area where people, if you've got a torn meniscus, you know, it's like that conversation we had last week. If something bothers it, then you can't do that anymore. But trust and believe in our gym era, there is something that can replace or do its best job at replacing everything in the gym.
Right.
You know, so you got to find, like you said, find a movement that doesn't hurt, that you can go through a full range of motion, that you can get a deep stretch on, and that you can get blood in the muscle. Then, you know, of course, if you're eating everything else correctly, yeah, you'll still grow, for
yep.
sure.
Yep.
For sure. Do you got any more of your topic ones? I said 100, so.
Yeah, no. I cleared all my topics. Let's get one more from you.
Okay. Sorry, I don't mean to do this. Like, guys ask for heaviest steroid cycle, and I just don't want to answer because it. You know, here I'm going to answer this on my own without even asking you. That's the problem with bodybuilding right now. Your heaviest steroid cycle. Here's the heaviest steroid cycle I've ever done. The smallest amount that'll work. So right. That should always be your goal when you're setting up. I think a lot of you guys are starting with, well, God, how much should I take? And I'm thinking, well, if zero is the most you've ever done, I'd get ballsy and take 200 milligrams. It's right. A lot.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
This? I'll throw this in.
Yeah.
The heaviest steroid cycle I ever did was also the worst placing I ever got.
See, that's an interesting a thing which I can totally see, because it doesn't correlate. If it did, we would all just take more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think that's where guys get a little disarrayed, because, you know, I know everyone's like, oh, health, oh, this. I remember, and I'm sure you remember, you ever watched Marcus Rule's Made in Germany video?
Yeah.
So
he's smoking the Marlboros.
Yeah. He's smoking while she's loading the groceries. But I'll never forget, because he is a prime example of the attitude of some bodybuilders. The guy, someone asked him, he said, well, what you're doing, it doesn't look very healthy. And his answer was, my job is not to be healthy. It's to be the biggest person on the planet. And not that I'm highlighting that. I take a completely different stance than that. I actually do think about death when I'm not sick. I think most people don't worry about dying until they fuck themselves. And then they're like, oh shit, and maybe it wasn't worth being so big, now that I'm in a casket. But I think with that stance, my point is there are more people in bodybuilding that just don't think long-term, that would just up the dose if that was all that mattered.
Yeah.
You know, you'll definitely find a diminishing returns. And there's been many times, I mean, I know I've prepped with Chris before where we did our starting point and now we're like 4 weeks out and we've changed nothing, got no orals, no nothing. And I'm like, hey, Chris, we haven't changed anything. He goes, oh, what are you taking? And I'll send it to him. And he's like, huh, that seems to be working.
Right.
I mean, like there's no rules. You don't have to. If it's all clicking along, you click. And I have had things where I've upped them higher and immediately saw side effects and no changes, no positive changes.
Right.
And it was like, 2 weeks later, I'm like, hey, I lowered that back down. I don't want to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
No, you know,
that's totally true.
So to answer your question, man, that's how you need to be thinking, is what's the lowest I can get away with getting results, and understand that it absolutely is. And I know everyone thinks this is a cop out, but it's really not. Find a low dose of real supplements that you can use and run that, and be obsessive about everything else. Because I find that guys that have graft out hormone plans, you know, usually don't know what they ate last Tuesday.
True. You got some good ones, Dusty. These are good ones.
These people didn't mess around, man.
They're holding back.
I think they knew I was in a jam.
Yeah.
I waited until we were 10 minutes into the show to ask a question. Oh, this is a good one, actually. This is a good one for you, actually. Advice for a college student looking to compete. Budget, time management, etc.
Yeah, I did it. I did it twice, and I won both times. So you can do it. Just meal prep at a pro level. That's all. Simple.
What about the budgeting portion of it? Like, how?
Yeah, the budgeting.
So you did?
Well, so what I did 1 year when I was going to college was I went and bought like 3 different types of frozen chicken. And 2 different types of fresh chicken. And then I bought like fresh chicken that was still on the bone.
Right.
And I cooked 1 kilo of all of them.
Right.
And then I weighed the cooked chicken to see what it yielded.
Mm-hmm.
And the frozen chicken was shit. It yielded like almost a 45% loss in weight.
Right.
So you'd cook a kilo of frozen chicken and you'd get like 550 grams of cooked chicken.
Oh, shit.
It was fucking
crazy. That's how much sodium and bullshit was in it.
That's how much salt water they pump into it. And then I cooked the fresh, perfect, all like totally cleaned, like the most trimmed chicken breast.
Yeah.
And a kilo of that yielded like $8.75 cooked chicken or something crazy. It was like in the 800s.
Right.
And then I cooked the bone-in chicken and took it off the bone and weighed it.
Right.
Like I was obsessed with finding the best value.
Right.
And so the really good chicken was the best yield.
Right.
But it was still like a little more expensive per kilo than buying it on the bone.
Right.
And cooking it and removing it. That was the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
It was like came out to cost like, you know, whatever it was, seven a pound or something. I can't remember. But it came out to be the cheapest. So that's what I did for the whole prep.
Right.
Because I was on a budget. And yeah, I wanted, had to be chicken breast. Like I'm not going to, like it has to be good.
Yeah.
But I didn't buy the frozen shit. I bought the bone-in stuff, skin, and then just skinned it, cooked it, ripped it off the bone after, let it cool and rip it all off the bone.
Yep.
It was delicious. Plus, it tasted the best because it was like smoked because it had the bone in it, right?
Yeah, I know for sure.
So it was the best chicken like that. My food was awesome. And then, of course, if you're on that type of a budget, you got to do the cheap tuna.
Right, always.
You can hit a couple of meals a day with cheap tuna. If you have any buddies that work in the supplement biz or there are sales reps or run a store or work at a store, any of that stuff, if you're really on a budget, ask them if they got fucking crooked labels and cracked lids. Because
you got returns. You got, what do you got in this place?
You got something. There's something. There's a 5-pound tub of vanilla isolate that's going to get like tossed or left on a shelf till it just expires or something. Or maybe it's like a month expired or something like that. But there's hope for supplements out there too.
It's actually, so when I owned the stores, I used to have a kid that, that went to ASU and he bought from me, but he, you know, he was on a really limited budget. And one time he came in and he was like, is there anything I can do around here to like make some money for some product? And I'm like, he's a hustler. Like I was like, I'll think of something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, so I'm like, oh, like I pay a guy to clean the windows. So I'm like, can you do a perfect job on those windows? All right, do that, do this. And next thing you know, I was like, all right, grab any of those four proteins, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good to go. So, yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it's creativity and it's the discipline, like you said, because the lazy person would look and go, oh, the frozen one's the cheapest.
Right.
If it costs the least, you know, and yeah. It's like, well, actually, it's double.
Yeah, it actually costs you more because I was eating a lot of chicken that prep. Fuck. You
know? I get burnt on chicken, so I know all about it. Here's a good one, which I like. Is there truly any money in bodybuilding anymore? Keep it real and blunt.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's some. I mean, what does he mean in bodybuilding? Like,
well, I think that, I mean,
eating, you know, or just in the industry. I mean, there's money in every industry if you have knowledge or expertise or you produce something that someone wants. There's a lot of different ways to make a living. I know the key to me making a living is just multiple income streams.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's how bodybuilding works. You know, you got endorsements, you got coaching, you got this, that, you know, it's how you have to do it. Look at all the guys that are successful at it. Like, you know, John Meadows or guys like that, you know, he's got his website, he's selling this, selling that, supplements. So yeah, you just got to be a hustler. The money just doesn't come to you anymore for being good. No one gives a shit if you're good.
Yeah. I think that's the big factor right there is, a lot of guys, I mean, number one, I think this is the only sport, and obviously I played hockey and I've got friends that are professional football players. This is the only sport I've ever heard of where the very first time someone starts to get ready for a show, they're like, yeah, I'm going to be a pro. Like, yeah. Like you're 26 minutes into your first prep and your goal is to play at the highest level with this. And then the next skewed thing is, when they turn pro, everything's going to change. And it's like, well, I just told you it's hard to become a pro, but I'm also going to tell you in the same sentence, there's a lot of people who have pro cards that are, their career ended the moment they got them. Yeah. And like you said, the big factor is the fact that you can win shows doesn't matter because yeah. I mean, you can go make money winning the shows, but I always chuckle and I hate to be the asshole that points it out, but it's like, you know, you go get third place for example, last weekend, I know Eddie, my friend, he just took, not Eddie, who was it? Ann, took fifth at the show over the weekend. He made $1,000. Well, his hotel costs more than that. His flight over there costs more than that. So it's like you need to be creative with ways to make money. Unless you're Sean Roden or Phil Heath bringing in $400K at the Olympia or whatever the hell it is now, there's not real money. But like you said, I think you nailed it, which is if there is something missing in the market and you can provide it, you can make money. You know, I mean, I always point out the fact that I've been making money, considerable amount of money, strictly from bodybuilding since I was an amateur for years. And I mean, I think people would be shocked to know what I was bringing in a month from sponsors.
Right.
You know, and why were people watching? Not, I mean, number one, not because they thought I was going to win the Olympia. And number two, when I did turn pro, I had people following me for years who didn't even know I wasn't already a pro.
Yeah, like, that's funny.
So the things that are in people's head that matter on how to make money are laughable. You know, I mean, I know a lot of pros that are much better than me. I mean, much better than me at bodybuilding. But I guarantee you they would trade bank accounts in a heartbeat.
Oh, you know? Yeah. There's guys winning shows that, like, don't own anything.
Yeah, they just don't get
what I mean.
But that comes back to anything. It's business, man. You need to – bodybuilding is a business. You have to treat it as such. You know, if you want to be great – I mean, Dana's interview, I thought it was so phenomenal. Like, she's in prep for the Olympia. Well, everyone wants to hunker down and go old school like Dorian and disappear into the shadows and come out. That's noble and awesome. But I promise you, she made a lot more money by them deciding, hey, we're going to get in a fucking van and drive across the country and hit gyms when you feel like shit and meet people and make fans. Like, if you told me that, I'd be like, you're out of your fucking mind.
You know what Jay told me once?
What's that?
I was talking to Jay in an airport. We were chatting and I said, you know, in 2013, when you did your comeback, remember the comeback show he did?
Yep.
Where he plays sixth. And I go, you know, in 2013, when did you come back? You know, how did you feel going into the show? And he goes, oh, I knew I wasn't going to win. He goes, I, he said he tore his bicep lifting up dumbbells. So he had that. And then he tore his quad leg pressing up in his hip. So he was hurt on the leg press. He had no power. He just said, you know, and he started small. He wasn't big in the off season. And he just said, he goes, I knew I wasn't going to win. And I go, so what was your major goal? And he kind of, I go, well, what, you know, what were you just doing it for the fans? And he goes, I wanted to sell more t-shirts than Phil.
I fucking love it.
And I did. Cause that was the Tell Them shirt.
Yep.
Remember the Tell Them and all that?
Yeah.
And the five, there was the five with the line through it. Like, he's like, that was on t-shirts, man. That for the fans, 100%. But I was gonna get my t-shirts out of it, and it was funny
because
that's
the thing, though, is that
fuck Jay,
and that's the stuff that people don't realize. I don't know if you'll remember this, but it kind of comes in the same thing. I remember when Jay was winning the Olympia, or right in the top. You know, the first time I went to the Meet the Olympians, you know, I walk in and everyone's got their table and they got like a picture, three pictures, and they're sitting there. And I go down this hallway and Jay has brought greats that are behind. He's got six tables. So there's a line to just buy gear. There's a line to just see him. There's like he formed a fucking retail store at the end. And I just remember seeing Carrie holding the blue bag and just filling it with money the whole time. And I'm thinking, everyone else is just here like, yeah, I'm at the Olympia. And Jay's like, we're going to make a fortune tonight. And then tomorrow, I'm going to make another fortune. That's how this is going down. But again, that's what I mean by, is there money in Bible? There's money in everything if you can figure out what it is you can bring to the table that people want.
Well, Gary Vee says anything can be flipped.
I agree.
So that means there's literally money in anything because anything can be flipped. So you are correct.
Facts. So yeah, I thought that was a good question though, because I think that people are still stuck in the whole, like, you know, I can only imagine how my meeting would have went this weekend on my contract. If I was like, well, what do you mean you want me to do stuff? I'm Dusty. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Go home. You're not that cool.
Yeah. You're not that cool.
So you want some more? I mean, dude, they're still loading here. So I got that. Ah, here's an important one. Is it possible to grow off cycle? Now, this is, I know this person, so he does use, but he wants to know if when he's off, can he still grow?
Certain circumstances, yes. I'd say you'd have to be like a little bit newer to everything. Maybe you didn't hit your, you know, natural potential yet. So you go off and you can still make some gains. You know, there could be the illusion of making progress. Like maybe you've been eating like shit and you clean up your diet and you start nailing everything. And all of a sudden your workouts get better and you're like, oh, I'm growing off cycle.
Right.
But it's just that everything's supposed to be that way to begin with.
Yeah, I think that you nailed exactly what I wanted to bring up, which is my answer to that is yes. But the reason my answer to that is yes is because drugs hide mistakes.
Right.
So guys go on a cycle, their eating is off, their training is not as hard as it could be, and they're seeing change anyways. The key is, though, is if their foundation was on point, if they were OCD about the diet, OCD about the training, and then they threw the drugs in, the changes would have been more dramatic. So what I do with clients when they first come to me, first thing I like to do is depending on where they're at, either TRT or off. And I say, cool, we're going to figure out what makes your body tick on this.
Yeah.
Once that is happening, I know we're not making any mistakes. I already know what happens if I give you an Anadrol.
Right.
Like, I don't need to figure out what your body is going to do with this. I already know. But that gives us a chance to see, and it also, it puts you in a position as an athlete that you know you can't make a mistake. There's nothing to fall back on if you know it's the diet, the rest, and the training. That's all I got. That's my toolbox right now. Because I don't think people realize how often they slack in one way or another. Same thing I feel about doing 5 working sets. I'm like, well, yeah, but you're not afraid to miss one of those. You got 4 left.
Yeah.
Leaving a rep on the table, you're like, Whereas when you got one shot, you're like, if I leave one rep, this is a wasted workout, let alone set.
Right. And one thing, too, that I always keep in mind is the strongest I've ever been at deadlifting, and I don't mean top single because I never did one, but I just mean like I could go in the gym and do, you know, like 5 sets of 5 off the floor with 5.5 plates or whatever the fuck I was deadlifting at the time, which for me was like really, really, really strong to be able to do 5 sets of 5. I think it was 5 sets of 5 with 5 plates and like a 5-pounder. So it was like 500 pounds.
Yeah, he wanted an even 5.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, I think that's like the strongest I've ever been on deads. But that was at the end of a 16-week cruise.
Right.
Because I was deadlifting 5 sets of 5 every week. So I got better at deadlifting.
Yeah, you became a stronger deadlifter, not necessarily stronger on everything.
I got stronger at deadlifting. But the fact that I was on a 16-week cruise, and I was taking 200 every 10 days, that was my cruise.
Right.
So, you know, you can still get better at stuff. You know, your whole physique might not get better, but, you know, maybe spend your time. Another thing is you could spend your time focusing on something that's positive.
Right.
You know, like I was focusing on getting strong at deadlifting because I thought it'd be kind of fun.
Right.
You know, take my mind off the fact that I was like, you know, off everything and, you know, didn't look as good. At least I felt strong, you know.
That's what t-shirt season is for. You're fine.
Yeah. Exactly. No, man. Yeah, but you got one more?
Like I said, man, they keep rolling. That's the beauty of the IG question is all I got to do is hit refresh.
I didn't realize you were such a goldmine for questions today.
Okay. This is just a direct one to me, but I can knock it out quick. Someone asked about my shoulder surgery I had in the past and what was the injury. I had, and this is awesome.
You got a great scar for that, too.
Yeah, it's a beauty. I wonder if I can show it. Let's see here. Look at that. So what's funny about this is if I tell an ortho what they did to my shoulder, now they cringe. Why would you do that? So I kept dislocating my shoulder from fighting and hockey. And it was funny because I started keeping score on how often it would happen because it would go in and out during a fight. So I could feel it popping in and out. And I dislocated over 30 times in 2 months. So basically, think of all the tendons and everything in there just floppy. You know what I mean? So what they did was your short head of your bicep is connected to like this little bone about like this long. They just cut that off and put it into the shoulder and drilled it in so it was now locked into place. And they're like, there, now you won't have any more dislocations. It's like, but my bicep is permanently different. My range of motion in that shoulder is permanently different.
Right.
So what was funny was I went through the process, got the surgery done, and the plan was to go back to playing hockey. But the problem with hockey is whether I'm fighting or playing, I don't know where your body is going. So it was sore as soon as I would do something. So what was interesting when I got into bodybuilding, people, when they hear the story, like, oh, well, how can you, you know, bench 500 pounds or do this? It's like, yeah, but I know where the bar is going. So there's no pain. The muscles are moving and everything's fine. If I'm fighting you, you're jerking all over the place. I don't really know where you're going to go. And the problem wasn't during the game. It was the next day. You'd wake up and you're like, oh, and mind you, I'm 19 years old. And it felt like it was 85 in the morning, right. You know? I played one game after the surgery, and I knew. I was like, shit, I got to get a job.
Really?
Yeah. No, I just knew it was like a light switch because I was – the type of player I was definitely bull in a china shop. So it's like I'm not skilled enough to do it the other way. So I guess I'm done.
Wow. So you're the short head of your bicep, the inside head of your bicep.
Yep, has been moved.
That's what holds your shoulder in place.
Yeah, well, the bone that's attached to, they just slid that up and then drilled it in. So I got this nice little bolt essentially hanging out in there holding that in place.
So,
but that's what's funny because now I've told current people and they're like, oh, God. Because obviously medicine changes at ridiculous speeds.
Yeah.
They would never do that now, but you also wouldn't go undo it because now I'm not playing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know,
does anyone tell you what they would do? Like they could have just.
I've never asked. It's just, I almost like to just tell people so they can laugh.
Right.
Because I know now, like in hindsight, it's like you basically changed his entire arm for something that could be fixed in another way. Like, I think nowadays, I think what they would do is actually just tighten everything back up.
Yeah, and then fill it with stem cells or something.
Call it a day, yeah. And the other thing was it was an extremely long recovery. They had me not only in a sling, but the sling wrapped around me because the bone was drilled into another bone. It has to set. So my arm did not move for months.
Fuck.
Yeah, not fun. Not fun at all. Then when they finally take out a sling and your arm straightens, it doesn't go straight. So you got to use the RoboCop arm thing to slowly get your arm to straighten out to normal. Yeah, tons of fun.
So is there, I've trained with you and it appears like there's nothing you can't do. But is there anything you can't do?
So we found, like, for example, I really love behind the neck presses on a Smith machine. God. But we found that because of that, it will always aggravate something in my trap. So finally, and it'll actually impinge my shoulder joint eventually because I move around. So Jason, my PT, was like, could you knock that shit off? Because it's really not necessary.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I don't do those anymore, which sucks. Cause I know it's not a healthy movement, but that's one of those movements, man, I could just feel. I do behind the neck press. And I'm like, where'd it hit your shoulder? All of it. Right, I could do those and go home. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Good workout, 5 sets.
Yeah. Oh, so. Man, that's that. Okay. That's crazy. I mean, I knew you'd had your bicep moved over and stuff, but I didn't know that they had you wrapped up for that long.
Oh, it sucked.
Fuck. Yeah.
Not a good time, you know? And now it's funny. I go into bodybuilding where the fact that little tweak in my bicep being different wouldn't matter in hockey. Now I'm like, great. My shitty body part. Now you fucked it up too.
But your biceps look the same to me.
They won't now. When you see them, you'll go, oh, that one is even worse than the other one. Hard to imagine one could be worse than the other when they're this bad.
Oh, man. Well, we managed to do an hour and a half, buddy, around there, you know.
It's not too hard to do. When people give us the right topics, we can run with them.
We do our best. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to – we have a guest next week.
an awesome guest next week.
He's a good friend of ours, so that'll be a great one. And then we have another episode with us, and then we have another, probably will be a huge guest for us.
Oh, for sure.
Booked. So we're very excited. We're booked ahead. There's no scrambling for guests. It's really lining up good, Dusty.
This is adulting. That's what we're doing right now.
We're executing.
Good enough, man.
Yeah, no. Happy to get another show under the belt. We'll have to see if we can maybe get another female on before episode 20. You know, we keep getting requests.
Yeah, but it's got to be the right one at the right time.
Well, we got a few. We can pull it off.
Done deal.
Okay. Any final words?
You know, same as always, man. Consistency over time. Thanks for guys catching up with us, watching, and please continue sharing what you're liking and also making requests, because that's where we get all of our decision making, is you guys telling us, oh, that sucked, don't do that again.
Right. Yeah. No, I like hearing that. I mean, sometimes, and like we've talked about this before, we've done some episodes where we were like, ah, fuck, I don't know if that was any good. And then we wind up getting like sometimes better feedback.
Yeah, apparently we have a skewed understanding of what good is, because the only two episodes where I was like, I felt like we did one, just you and I, and I remember both of us being like, oh, no. And then it got huge reviews. I'm like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, people were saying, oh, that one question you guys did was amazing, and that it was just funny. So we really appreciate the feedback, because, you know, typical bodybuilders were our own worst critics. I think that's... You know what I mean? And it's even hard to watch the episodes back sometimes, because you know, things make you like, ah, fuck. So we rely on hearing from you. I was listening to my training partner. I was let him bring it up. You know,
if he doesn't say anything, you know, it was bad.
Yeah. Episode will come out Wednesday. And if he hasn't mentioned it by Friday, I'll be like, so like, how was the show? No, he'll always say something by like Thursday. He'll say, hey, show was good. You know?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Remember, it's just bodybuilding.